Well, praise God. Welcome back. So, what a great time of worship and song that we had this morning. Don't you appreciate that? And appreciate the worship and the words as well as the music and what the Lord is doing through that. I just thank the Lord for that and for Andy leading us today. It was great. And it's great every Sunday. So, God bless you. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Yeah, it's been a week, right? Yeah, so today is my privilege again to be able to have some time to share God's word with you in God's sovereignty and with the permission of the elders of our great church here. I am very thankful for this opportunity. It's a privilege, and it's a privilege to do that with people who are hungry to find God in his word. Amen? And that's so many of you, so we're thankful for that. And I'm going to be sharing about a psalm, Psalm 90. In a few minutes, we'll get into that. And so I really have been appreciating, as many of you have been appreciating, Dan's series on the Psalms. Anybody agree with that? So great. And so this is just one that he was not going to cover. And because of the circumstances, the Lord would have us maybe think about it this morning. So Psalm 90. And I'm thankful for that. And again, we rejoice with Paul and Deborah in the celebration time, in the getting hitched, and coming back. And they made it back in spite of the weather and everything, and allowing me to have this opportunity. So in light of that, just real quick, in just a couple of weeks, we have another team from Riverside joining with some other people and going to Kenya in Africa. And so Pastor Paul and Deborah are part of that team this time. They're going to be gone. Scott Edsel is part of that team. And Ebby is going to be part of that team. And my friend, our friend Rick here, is part of that team. And so in just a couple of weeks, we just really want you guys to be praying about it. But also, we're just really thankful. A year ago when we went, and we had a team from Riverside that went, there was just a really generous donation of love gifts from the church to Pastor Sammy over there, who is part of our sister church in Kenya. And so, and we were able to give the congregation a lot of Bibles, and we gave them some sports equipment for the youth, and we gave Pastor Sammy a motorbike, and it's still working. I talked to him recently, and it's still working, so praise God. But we wanted to let you know about that because we're doing another team in just a couple weeks. And so we would like, if the Lord wills, to be able to send a gift to that church, from our church to that church once again. So if the Lord puts on your heart to make a special donation, they are needing at least, he said, 100 more Bibles, which is about $1,000, American dollars. And then they have other expenses as well. So just for the next couple weeks, if God speaks to you, you want to be part of that, you can give a love gift to Riverside Church, and we'll get that together. And when our team goes, then Pastor Paul will be able to present that to Sammy during the visit in Kenya. Amen? So what a great opportunity. Yeah, amen. It's great. And pray. So I always forget how long I have here. A couple hours? Is that right? Yeah. I wish, right? No. I want to share on Psalm 90 today. This is an important psalm. It's called a community lament psalm. It's part of the section of psalms that's called lament. You know what lament is? This is a community lament psalm, and you'll see why. But community lament guides us to community praise, and that's how it ends, right? And so that's sort of where we are headed today, and we just want to think about that. And I'll see if I can work this out. Going, Gone is the title that I've want to suggest to you from Psalm chapter 90. And so I'd like to read it with us. We don't always have to do it this way, but just at the beginning in this particular message, I like to just read the whole thing, and then we'll back up and we'll start going through it. Does that make sense? So Psalm 90, if you have your Bible, I'd like to encourage you to find it on your phone if you're using that. And I would also like to invite you to stand if you would like to while we read God's word. So Psalm 90. And in my Bible, it says there's a superscription right under the title of Psalm 90. It says, "A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God." Do you have that in your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah. That's part of the inspired text, by the way. That's just not an English title they put in it. That's part of the text in the Hebrew. So this is God's word. "A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Lord, You've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, oh, You brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in Your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered.'" Verse 7, "We are consumed by Your anger and terrified by Your indignation. You've set our iniquities before You and our secret sins in the light of Your presence. All our days pass away under Your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away." Remember that song? "We fly away. Who knows the power of Your anger? For Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due You. Teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on Your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with Your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for many days, as many as You have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May Your deeds be shown to Your servants and Your splendor to their children." I love that. "To Your children. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. The prayer of Moses. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. You can have a seat. Does anybody feel like you're getting older? We have news for you. You are. Every single one of us. Just some of us more than others. So I know that you're aware, I've mentioned this before previously. Maybe I will not mention it. So Dan, if you're there, you can help me out with that picture. Okay. So I've mentioned before that in February, my father went home to heaven. I've talked about that. Appreciate your prayers. And I'm still going through his stuff. You know, he has a lot of World War II stuff. I'm going through it, and I'm finding a lot of things in there that are neat things, but still missing him. But in the life of our church and the life of many of our personal lives, there's a lot going on, isn't there? There's been a lot going on these last couple months, I think, particularly for many of us. And we had a great service yesterday with Bob Barrett. And Bob went home to be with the Lord. It was a great celebration time, wasn't it? And many of you were there yesterday. Bob was a faithful pastor. And right now he is with his faithful pastor, Jesus Christ. It was great. And so we're praying about that. Jim Allen is here with us, and Jim's father just went home to heaven few days ago. The service is coming up. Terry Lynn Edge is here, and her mother went home not too long ago. We've got a lot going on. We're praying this morning for John Christensen and John Brower. Really, you know, a big part of this church for many years. We're praying that the Lord will be pleased to restore them. Amen. But they're in this situation right now. In our lives, personally, Jan and I, just in the last couple months, I think I've been to about 6 funeral services or memorials. A couple of them I was involved in. That's a picture of my dad. I've showed that before. But he's with the Lord. But we've been to 6 of friends, and a lot of that's happening. And even in our country, right? If you're reading the news, what about that situation with Nancy Guthrie? What a heartbreak that is right now for that family. Or Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham gone a while back. Charlie Kirk. So we have all of this. And what a joy it is when we have a service, a memorial service, and you've been to some, and I've been to some. And like yesterday, at the end of that service, Pastor Paul was wrapping it up. And what a joy it is to be able to say to a group of people that this person, Bob Barrett, is not dead. He is alive and in the presence of Jesus Christ at this very moment. And we rejoice and celebrate. Amen? What a great hope that is. And it sure is true. Joseph Bailey was really a famous person from Elgin, Illinois. He's with the Lord now, but he tells that one Sunday afternoon in February 1 year, he was speaking in a service in a nursing home in Pennsylvania, and there were men and women in that service in wheelchairs attending it, and some were listening from their beds in adjoining rooms. And several of the patients were in the 90s. One lady was almost 100, and she was weeping before the service, and Joseph bent over to speak to her, and she whispered, I'm afraid to die. And so when he got up to speak to that group, he asked them a question. He said, if I could promise to take you from this home to a beautiful spring-like place where you would be forever free from all your aches and pains, where you could walk and even run and hear and see and never anymore have loneliness or sorrow ever again, but if I had to take you first through a dark tunnel to get you there, how many of you would want to go? And not surprisingly, but almost all the hands in that place went up. Because it's a good deal, amen? It's a good deal. And so he went on and he said, well, death is that tunnel. It is not to be feared if we trust Jesus. For he will take us through it right into heaven. Praise God. Isn't that what God wants us to know? And isn't that the truth? So, I know there's a sort of a long introduction to this message, so I hope, you know, I won't use up all my 2 hours. But I was going through my files this week, just getting ready. I have these files, and I pulled out a prayer list from our former church back from 2002, a long time ago in the old days. And we had this page, and we had prayer requests, and we had names of people who needed prayer on this list. And I just was looking at it. I happened to find it. And there's about 30 names on this list, different categories of people to pray about. I looked at it, and I said, wow, just about half of them are gone. Just about half of the people are in heaven. A bunch from the congregation at the time, a couple people from nursing homes, 2 of the pastors on this list are gone. One of our staff members is gone. One of our missionaries that we supported is gone. And they're all in heaven with Jesus Christ. It's an astonishing thing, isn't it? That this is life. And so Psalm 90 is a really powerful psalm. I don't know if you've read it before or studied it, but it's great, and it's about Moses. And so here's another question for us. In 100 years from now, what do you think you'll be doing? You talk about a leading question. So this psalm, most of the commentators believed this psalm by Moses was written by him at the end of Israel's 40-year time of wandering in the wilderness. You remember that? God gave them promised land. They wanted to go in there. He wanted them to go into the promised land and take it by faith. Some of them went in and they were shaken in their boots when they came out. They said, "We can't do it. It's too hard. They're too big, you know, and all of that." So God said, "Okay, that's your choice. So I'm just going to let you wander in the wilderness for 40 years. This was the whole nation of Israel, 40 years wandering. Moses was the leader, and he probably lost his sister Miriam sometime in there. He lost his brother Aaron sometime in there. And the death that came upon that camp of Israelites came on all of them at that time, because the entire adult population at that point, at the beginning, perished by the time of the end in God's sovereignty. And so many think that this lament, this prayer, is Moses writing this shortly after that finished off. Can you imagine that? 40 years. And I mean, how many people were in that group from Egypt of Israelites? The entire adult population. They probably had deaths happening every single day. Multiple deaths. It became a walking cemetery for 40 years that they had to deal with. So Moses prays, and he prays this prayer. It's fantastic, isn't it? And it's a great one. And so it reminds me of something that probably I don't like to think about too much, and that is death and what's next. And it's a prayer. So someone has said the statistics on death are quite amazing. 1 out of 1 people die. 1 out of 1. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But we have a great praise, of course, today that we'll be talking about as we go through this, because we know the ultimate answer to all these things for us in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, is the coming of Jesus Christ, who has given us the answer to all of this. And that's why Spurgeon, when he read Psalm 90, Spurgeon, when he preached on it, he said this: "The 90th Psalm might be cited as perhaps the most sublime of human compositions, the deepest in feeling, the loftiest in theological conception, and the most magnificent in its imagery." That's what Spurgeon thought of Psalm 90. I hope that you will agree with that as well. So let's dig in. The title of the study is Going, Gone, and it's Psalm 90. Moses' masterpiece, probably the oldest of the 150 Psalms, and it's about life and death. It's how to beat death black and blue. So if you're here today and you feel like you're moving on, sliding home, getting older, you might feel like you're going, and maybe one day be gone. There's something in Psalm 90 for every single one of us, isn't there? There sure is for me. So where do we start? Well, let's start where Moses does, and he begins by showing us the eternal God is our eternal home. So we'll reread a couple of these verses as we go along through this and let the Lord teach us. So Dan, I'm going to let you do this for me, if you will. Psalm 90, the eternal God is an eternal home. Verse 1, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." You are God. So, two things about this one. Two things that we can say. Number one, God is our protecting shelter. He's our protecting shelter. He's our dwelling place. He's our eternal home. And secondly, it tells us and reminds us that home is not a place, but it's a person. That our home is in the person of God, whom we know today as Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Bible tells us, and Moses is referring to this, one weary generation after another rolls on. But you could write these words in the margin of your Bible. But God is there. And God is leading the way. One teacher wrote this: God causes men to die without letting them die out. I like that. So foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the saints of God have God. We got God. Remember that song, "This World Is Not My Home"? Amen to that? This world is not my home. When I talked to my dad and mom moved a lot of times. They moved about 9 times in their life. Maybe some of you moved more than that. Some of you less. But they moved 9 times. But he's home now. He's home permanently. Home is not a place. It's a person. And this is so, so important for you and me to realize and to understand. Isn't this true? So this is summertime. We're in the middle of summer. It's vacation time. I'm surprised you're here today. I'm surprised I'm here today. Yeah, but it's vacation time. You know, we like to go, and I like vacations. I need a vacation, so, you know, we love vacations. But we think, you know, and we think, okay, I'm going to go on vacation because I really need this. So one lady was thinking about that, and she wrote some very honest words. She said, "I remember saying one summer, what I really need is a trip to the ocean. So I went to the beach, but the ocean seemed to say to me, it's not in me. The ocean did not do for me what I thought it would. The ocean. And then I said, so perhaps the mountain will provide the rest that I need. So I went to the mountains. And when I woke up the next morning, I gazed at the magnificent mountain I had longed to see. But the sight did not satisfy. And the mountain said, it's not in me. And what I really needed was the deep ocean of God's love and the high mountains of his truth within me. His wisdom had depths and heights that neither the ocean nor the mountains could contain and that could not be compared with jewels, gold, or precious stones. Christ is wisdom, and he is my deepest need. Our inner restlessness can only be pacified by the revelation of his eternal friendship and love for you and me." Amen? Isn't that true? I've gone on a lot of vacations, and I've had some good ones. You know, but the interesting thing is, and you may have it different than me, but the interesting thing is to me, a lot of my vacations, they're not perfect. And I come back, and there's something still missing, and it just doesn't match up to what I was looking for. Pretty good, but not perfect. You see, my deepest need and your deepest need is not a vacation, but it's Jesus. And it's victory over death that Moses is talking about here. So the eternal God is an eternal home. Does that make sense? So why is this so important? Well, it's obvious. Moses goes on in verses 3 to 10, excuse me, and it's important because this life is only a stopping off place. Amen? It's a stopping off place. Going, gone. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to me and say, "Well, Dave, how is life treating you?" You know, and I got to think about that for a while, but usually pretty lousy. But how is God treating you? He's treating me pretty good, much more than I deserve. Amen? And so, Going. So Moses is developing this, and he has 3 points in this next section of why this is so important to understand that. And so in verse 3, he begins by reminding us that life's destination is dust. To turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." And so it's dust to dust. And I don't know if I like that, but here we are, men and women, we're mortal beings. And we will one day, so if you pardon me for saying it this way, one day we will be pulverized to dust, our bodies. And one day the angel of God will come to you and me and say, "Go home. It's time to go home." And the body will be buried or whatever until the future resurrection day. But the spirit and the soul will go to God right away. But life's destination is dust to dust. Apart from God, it's pretty hopeless. But then Moses goes on and he says, secondly, life's duration is here today, gone tomorrow. And in verses 4, he says, for 1,000 years in your sight is like what? It's like a day that's just gone by. Or it's like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. Remember that? Though in the morning, it springs up new. By evening, it's what? It's dry and withered. Life's duration is here today, gone tomorrow. So this makes a lot of sense to me, doesn't it, to you? It's like a watch. A watch, not that watch, but, you know, a watch like a military watch. A watch period of time was like 4 hours. You're on, it's your assignment, you're on watch. 4 hours starts, but then it's done. 4 hours. That's not very long, really, in the big scheme of things. It's like it was yesterday. I was reading another quotation that really struck me. I know some of this may sound sorrowful and morbid to us, but there is a point as Moses takes us through that. So hang on with me, because I'm with you. I sense how challenging this can be. But this writer said this. He said, if you or I were to die today, in 7 years, we would be remembered with fondness. We hope, right? Our families and friends would still feel the pain of our parting. In 70 years, we would be a dim memory in the minds of very few, a name over a short line on a genealogy chart. 700 years from now, there would be no trace of our names on any surviving civic or church record. No tombstone could be found to list us. 7,000 years from now, there may be no record even of the million-member society of which we are a part. And yet the Bible tells us that 7,000 years is like a drop in the endless ocean of time to Jesus Christ. Amen? To be with Him. Doesn't that grab us? That is disturbing. That's its duration. Well, Moses isn't done as he's talking about this and why this is so important. Life's description, if you just want to take this one more step, life's description is tough and rough. Tough and rough. And so he, in verses 7 to 10, he deals with that and he says, we're consumed by your anger. We're terrified by your indignations. You set our iniquities before us and our secret sins in your presence. And then he says, all your days, all our days pass under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Moan. Oh, we like to moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass. And what does it say? We fly away. We fly away. There's our song again. We fly away. And so life's description, Moses says, is tough and rough. And so this is talking about, of course, our sins apart from God. You know, you leave God out of the picture. This is what it looks like, the anger of God, the wrath, righteous wrath, justified wrath at sin in the world, which we are a part of ourselves, sadly. But that's what it says. The Vulgate was a very early Bible translation, very early in church history. And it translates verse 9 this way. It says, our years pass away like those of a spider. Wow. Our years are frail and they're brief, Moses tells us. Adam Clark wrote, he said, we live a dying, whining, complaining life, and at last a groan in its termination. We get up in the morning, I don't know about you, we get up in the morning and we groan. And some of us more than others, right? And so if you're young, don't think this can't happen to you. So back at our other church, the wife of one of our pastors was Dina Denton. And she had one of her kids in school one day. She was visiting the school And in order to visit the school, you had to have a visitor's pass. Remember those days? And so she gave me a copy of her visitor's pass. I have it up here. It's a school visitor's pass. It says, Dina Denton is just passing through. She gave me this, you know. You know why? Because we each need a sticker like this. Dave Boyer, I'm just passing through. Andy's just passing through. Don's just passing through. And God wants us to realize that that's what's going on. So isn't this true? So it's like catching a soap bubble. It's like digesting cotton candy. That's my life. This is not a joke, is it? This is truth. And the older we get, the more we can realize it. So I've been to a lot of service. I've been to a lot of funeral services and memorial services. I'm sure you have too. And I've been able to officiate in a lot of those. I've been in a service with an unborn baby. I've been in a service with a high school student in an auto accident. I've been in a service with a 46-year-old strong farmer who had died of a heart attack. My mom passed away. Good friends passed away. I've been in services where people committed suicide and good people. And one day I'm going to be in a service where I'm going to be there in a different form than I am right now, I trust, I hope. I had a friend back in our other church. His name was Norm. He would tell me, he's with the Lord now for many years, he would always say, Dave, it's a terrible thing to get old apart from Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, I sort of put that off when he first started telling me. But I don't put it off anymore. I don't dismiss that. Is there any help for us poor people when we're on this dusty road of life, when we're headed this way? Woody Allen, you know Woody Allen? He said, I'm obsessed with death. It's a big subject with me. I have a very pessimistic view of life. So I don't know. How do you feel? Does anybody feel older? So we need a little levity here, so I have this story here. It's a true story. At a nursing home in Florida one time, there was a group of senior citizens sitting around talking about their aches and pains. My arms are so weak, I can hardly lift this cup of coffee, said one person. I know what you mean. My cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my coffee, said another one. Another one said, I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck. And they were nodding in agreement. Another one said, my blood pressure pills make me dizzy. And another person said, I guess that's the price we pay for getting old. And then everybody was silent for a minute, and then one woman spoke up cheerfully, and she said, well, it's not that bad. Thank God we can all still drive. So keep that in mind when you're out there. Watch out for me. So is there any help? Is there any help for us poor travelers on this dusty road? Moses says yes, and he prays, and he offers us this prayer. That's what we're looking at here. So that the next part of it is his encouragement for us to pray. And we're calling it pray for affirmation in your affliction. Pray for affirmation. That's verses 13 to 17. A great list of prayer requests here. Just to review it again, verse 13. He says, relent, O God, relent. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. For as many years as we have seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. Don't you love that? To their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish. Oh God, he's praying. God, establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's Psalm 90. Isn't that great? So a prayer, this is what I can do. This is what you can do. Pray for affirmation in your affliction. And you can ask God for anything. Amen? We can ask him for anything in Jesus Christ. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we can ask, you can ask God for compassion. God, would you give me satisfaction? Would you give me love? Would you give me joy? Would you give me gladness? Would you give me splendor? Would you give me favor? The older I get, you know, we take more vitamins. Maybe we need vitamin E. Maybe you're taking vitamin C. Maybe you take a multi-purpose vitamin. That really helps you, right? Maybe you need calcium. Take calcium. Maybe you need medication, maybe for your blood pressure, for your cholesterol, like me. We need something, don't we? We need something. But Lord, this is what I really need. This is what I really need. I need a spiritual booster shot in my life. Do you? I don't need just a shot in the arm. I need a booster shot in my heart. I need God. When I pray for these things, I need God to hear me and answer my prayers. Because otherwise, how can I get through this thing? And how can I finish well? It's a hard thing to think about. My dad, when we moved my dad into assisted living the first time years ago, and he was just getting settled, I asked him one time and said, "Dad, how do you like this place?" You know? It was his idea to do it, by the way. And I said, "Dad, how do you like this place?" And he said, "Well, the food is good." He said, "But there's a lot of old people here." And he was right. So sometimes somebody will ask me, or you might think to yourself, "What am I going to be like when I'm old?" Have you ever thought that? That's a serious question. And I heard somebody give me an answer that I'm not sure I like, but it's probably true. He said, "What am I going to be like when I'm old?" "You're going to be the same, only more." Take that to lunch. So if you're good now and the Lord's working in your life, it can be more as you get older. But if you're not, if you're not so good now, it's going to be the same later on as well. I'll be sad or glad. So anyway, does this make sense? God is inviting us to prayer. So out of all this, the one verse I shared with some early on, the one verse that I like the most, and the whole verse is verse 12. And so I'd like to just circle around to that for a few moments here. The heart of this, I love this verse because it's a challenge to me. In verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, so that we could gain a heart of what? Of wisdom." I love that verse. And just for a minute, I'd like for God to encourage us in it. But just a reminder, this is Old Testament that we're reading, Psalm 90. So we're under the new covenant. We're believers in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So we have the fulfillment of everything that we're talking about right now in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul comes along in the New Testament, and he has some fantastic challenges for us. And one of those that many of us love is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that you've heard before. But let me read it again because it ties right in to Moses' prayer. He says in verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is what? Unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Hallelujah to God. Isn't that true? So that's me. That's you. That's what we need in the New Testament. So here we are this morning, going. Now, so far, we're not gone, right? Because we're here right now. So God, through Moses, he says, "Number your days aright." This is a really interesting phrase. And so this is just an idea that somebody shared with me one time that I've been trying to do in my life. I think it's a great idea. So the Hebrew word, you know what the Hebrew word there means, number? You know? It means number. It's a good translation. It means to number your days. Okay, so in here it said that as a general rule, you have 70 years. Or by God's grace, you might have 80. Now, we know some people are way beyond that. Some of us are way below that. But on an average, just to talk about it, 70, maybe 80. So think if you have 80 years. And if you're a good mathematician, you know, take a piece of paper if you want when you get home and write down and figure out how many days 80 years is for your life. Okay? That's the first step. And then figure out how old you are right now. Do you know how old you are right now? Anybody want help on that? And figure out how many days have gone by. Okay, are you following me now? Now we're doing math. So then subtract the total number of 80 minus what you've done, and you have the number of days left. You are numbering your days. And so I was challenged with that a while. So once in a while I journal, not every day, but I often do. And when I do, I'm doing it now. And every day I've got the total and I've got what's left. If it is to 80. And you might say, well, Dave, that's really morbid. But you know, it is one of the most motivating things that I look at because I look at it every day. And it forces me to do what this verse is saying. It says that we might gain a heart of what? Of wisdom. And so in New Testament terminology, we would say, we would number our days so that we might gain a heart full of Jesus Christ. Because the New Testament tells us that it is in Jesus is the fullness of treasures and knowledge and wisdom. And this is what God wants. And I may be falling apart physically, anybody? But we can be soaring high spiritually in spite of that. I've mentioned before, we had a good friend. We went to Ecuador one time a few years ago, and we had a lady on our trip who was 80 years old. Her name was Edith, and I've told this story before. But she went on our trip. We went down in the jungles on the dugout canoes. We climbed up the mountains to see the Projects for Compassion, and she went with us, Edith, 80-some years old. We didn't know until later she had some heart problems, but Edith went with us and came back. And on the way back one time, as we were in the dugout canoe, and then went back to down the river to the bus, out of the jungle to try to find a hospital, the Lord took her home on the bus. She went home to heaven. She went home to heaven. We were concerned that her family back in America would be upset that, you know, that we did this to her, or this happened to her and with us, you know. And so we called them and talked to them. And you know what they said? They weren't upset at all. They were happy. They said, Edith died doing what God wanted her to do. And we're happy for her. And we're happy that she's with heaven right now with Jesus Christ. And we celebrated that. Edith was a great example, wasn't she? A great example. She didn't want to finish sitting in a rocking chair. Now, if you have to do that, that's okay. But you know what I mean. She didn't finish her life sitting in a rocking chair. She finished her life climbing mountains for Jesus Christ. So how about you and how about me? What am I going to be like? So here's the key idea that I get out of this passage. And you can, there's a lot more in here than what we're talking about. You can study it. But this is the key idea. Growing older is your final and greatest challenge on earth. But growing close to Jesus Christ is the greatest opportunity of your human life. Praise God. Creativity doesn't have an age that it stops or starts, does it? So if you're discouraged about any of this, and maybe not. Here's some encouragement for you. If you're ever tempted to sit back in your life, wherever you are and however old you are, and rest, just remember this. Benjamin Franklin helped frame the United States Constitution when he was 81. Golda Meir became Prime Minister of Israel when she was 71. Tatian painted his historic picture of the Battle of Lepanto when he was 98. One of George Bernard Shaw's plays was first produced when he was 94. The poet Tennyson wrote his famous Crossing the Bar when he was 80. Composer Verdi produced his masterpiece opera Otello when he was 74. And he composed his magnificent Ave Maria when he was 85. The Roman statesman Cato began to study Greek when he was 80. Thomas Jefferson founded the University of Virginia when he was 76. And mathematician Mary Fairfax Somerville published a writing on molecular and microscopic science when she was 89. So take heart, because creativity begins about 70. Amen? And I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and what? And to die is gain." So, wrapping it up. maybe three types of people here with us today. Me too, including me. Excuse me. And I have three words at the end here to suggest. Nothing, something, and everything. You ready? Everybody here, I think, will fall into one of three categories. All of us. And so the first word is nothing. Some of us here this morning have nothing to live for. Do you? Some of us are just soaking and souring. We're like the epitaph on the graveside for this guy where it said, died age 30, buried age 70. We have nothing. But nothing is not good enough, is it? So there's another category, and that's the word something. Some of us here this morning have something. We have something to die for. We've picked out something that we'd like to die for. Some people get all excited about extreme sports. Can you imagine that? Some people become communists. Some people get really religious. Some people fall in love with golf and pickleball. They got something to live for. But can we say this? That something is just not good enough. So we have nothing and we have something. And then we have a third category of people, and that's everything, everything. And that is that there are some of us, by God's grace, that have everything to live and die for in Jesus Christ. And we hope that you're in that category. And once again, the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. So, amen. So, wow, isn't this a powerful psalm? If you're here and you never have met Christ, you know, and you've probably heard this enough from other people, but this is the place where you've got to start. We've got to prepare for our death. We've got to get ready for this ahead of time, because you're not ready to really live until you're really ready to die. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." And Jesus himself said in John 5, he said, "I tell you the truth." Jesus always liked to tell the truth. He said, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Jesus said that. Okay, Jesus, what do I have to believe? What do I believe? It's simple. Romans says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's what you need to believe. That's what I need to believe and embrace with my whole heart. And so we hope that you've done that. Sometimes talking to people, and they'll say, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that yet. One day I will be, but I'm not now. And we would just say to you, if that's your thought, heaven can wait, but you can't. Don't count on it, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen? So now is the day. And so God is calling us and he's calling you and me. And we get to pray. And I'm so glad for Psalm 90, for a prayer of Moses. You know, sometimes I don't know how to pray or what to pray. Do you feel that way? Well, here's a good starting point right here. It's a prayer. You know, it's a prayer that you and I can take to the bank. Because we have Jesus Christ, and it makes a difference. So, hallelujah. So we're going, and one day we'll be home forever with Jesus if we have Christ in our lives. To God be the glory. God bless you. Amen. So Moses prayed. Let's pray. We'll pray. Will you join me? Lord, thank you for Moses. It's going to be great to see him, Lord, and know how you answered these prayers for him. But we're calling out to you today, Father, as a people of God here at Riverside in this service on this Lord's Day. Father, we want to pray for ourselves today, Lord. Lord, there are some among us today, probably some really young people here who are listening to this, and they can't even imagine what we've been talking about. So, Lord, would you please open their eyes? Lord, then there's some of us here today that maybe we're just beginning to understand and feel the sadness of getting older than we've ever been before. Lord, would you encourage us today? And, Father, there's probably some of us here in the twilight of time, even right now, dealing with inevitable groanings. Oh, God, help us and help them. We need you so much. But thank you, Jesus, because in you, we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we can number our days. So God, our prayer is this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we grow up and grow up and grow up until we go up. Thank you for dying grace in Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
Just stand with us as we...